And thankful again for Pastor Holloway for taking the time to come here this Sunday, because he is pastoring a church. So his flock there that God has called him to be an under-shepherd of is there in Greenwood having services today. And he was able to get someone to fill in for him. I'm thankful for that. But they have come, and Brother Holloway started this church that he's now pastoring, Bethel Bible Baptist Church, in 1991. God burdened Brother Holloway for the black community and the needs that were there for strong Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. And God has just blessed his ministry there. There's a church that is filled with strong believers that love Christ. And they've been faithful through the years. We'll be celebrating 30 years, right, Brother Holloway, coming at?
29 in October.
And then, so just coming up on 30 years. So thankful for them. And Brother Holloway, you come and preach what God has put on your heart. And we're so thankful you're here, brother. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
A few housekeeping things. You know, there's always a jokester in every congregation. I saw this young man right here get ready to get up when the fourth graders, the K-4 people got ready. He got ready to get up. Amen. The last time I was here, I told you I felt like I was a fly in a bowl of buttermilk. I still feel that way today. But it's so good to be here. I appreciate your pastor, Brother Brinson. Appreciate his spirit. And I guess, and I'm just being candid with you this morning, somewhat transparent, hopefully. I really was surprised that Brother Brinson called me, asking me to speak. You say, Pastor Holloway, why would you say that? We're living in some difficult times. Seems to be a lot of racial tension. And some of it is purposely aggravated by the news media and all these other people. And the fact that a white preacher would ask a black preacher to be in his pulpit on homecoming Sunday, that's a big deal. Maybe it's because we both believe this thing is bigger than black and white. We believe that the real cure for racism is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm honored to be here this morning, brother. I don't take it lightly, and we're glad to be here. Now, the only other thing I'll say before we get into our text. I don't know how long Brother Brinson preaches, but you can just double that this morning. See, some of you all have already left. You mentally left when I said that. But I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 19. The book of Luke, chapter number 19. And we rejoice that you're celebrating such a great occasion. I think it was 217 years, brother. 217 years. That's a long time. And God certainly needs to be praised for that. But this morning, I want to address you from Luke chapter 19. We're going to be looking at a particular parable that our Lord gave in Luke chapter 19. And many people refer to this as the parable of the pounds. The parable of the pounds. But this morning I want to use as a subject the sin of doing nothing. The sin of doing nothing. Probably in every church, regardless of where it's located, regardless of its makeup, no doubt there are individuals within that church that aren't doing anything. And I want to address that this morning. In Luke chapter 19, I'm going to start with verse number 11. The Bible says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable." Remember, a parable is an earthly story that has a spiritual truth or spiritual meaning behind it. It says, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. In the process of going there, many of them there, especially the Jews, thought that he was coming to establish his earthly kingdom. They did not realize that that kingdom was not going to be established until he returns. And so he gives this parable in light of that to make them aware of that very fact. In verse 12 he says, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign or rule over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. I want to pause right there and say this. There are many people who sometimes associate this parable, the parable of the pounds, with the parable of the talents that's found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 36. And there are some similarities there. And I'll just mention that in both of these parables, the Lord Jesus Christ does give out privileges, no doubt about that. And in both of these parables, of course, the Lord rewards faithfulness. But they are distinctly different from one another. And we want to maybe focus on some of those differences this morning. Now, there are four entities that I want to maybe focus on or have you consider this morning. First of all, there's the nobleman. We want to look at him. Then we want to consider the servants as it relates to this parable. Then there's the focus on the pounds that are mentioned in this parable. And then there are the citizens who is very evident are quite different from the servants. Now, in verse number 12, it says, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman. A nobleman, of course, is a person who has a high birth or is of an exalted rank. They are associated with the nobility. Sometimes people refer to them as the aristocracy, if you will. It also means this idea of nobleman has the idea of something that's very good or very excellent or noble, if you will. A person who's noble, they practice excellence. And so this nobleman, the Bible says here, went into a far country. And I would submit to you that this nobleman is representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that our Lord Jesus Christ, he too had an exalted rank. He still does have an exalted rank. I still do believe that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Oh, I believe that he also had a high birth. There was no birth like his birth. And I do believe that he also was of a noble or an excellent character. There was no flaw in him. He was our perfect Redeemer. And I believe that in this parable, the nobleman is representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that this nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. Can I tell you, church, I believe that he has gone away and he's preparing a place for you and for me. I believe that, yes, he's gone now. But guess what, church? He is coming back again. Notice the Bible says that that nobleman was going to receive a kingdom and he was going to return. Sometimes I think we forget. We live as if it's not imminent. His return is not imminent. That he could come back before the service is over. And we're already planning for next week. Planning for next year. And he could come back today. His imminent return. The Bible says he is this nobleman in this parable was going to return. And I believe that our Lord Jesus Christ said, just as you've seen me go, so shall I come back again. Thank God for His return. The Bible says in verse 13, we move to the servants. It says, and He called His 10 servants. Remember in the Bible, the number 10 is the number of perfection, if you will. And so He calls the servants, a 10 by number. I believe in this parable, the servants, of course, are representative of those that are believers, those that are working for the nobleman, those that are in the vineyard, those that one day will have to give an accounting for what they've done while he was gone. The Bible says in verse 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds. Meaning that every servant got 1 pound. He delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. I believe in this particular parable, the pound that is mentioned is representative of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I believe that that pound could very well be that which encompasses the gospel. Of that which encompasses all that's represented in the Word of God. I believe that is not only the knowledge of the truth, but is membership in the kingdom in which that truth is disseminated. And so I believe that that pound is the Word of God, it's the gospel, it's the truth. And every believer has been given a responsibility to do something with that pound. You and I have been given a responsibility to do something with the truth that's found in the Word of God. And the Bible says that every servant, if you are a believer, you are a child of God, regardless of your race, regardless of your creed, regardless of your nationality, regardless of what country you came from, you have a responsibility because you have been given the Word of God. You have been given the gospel. You've been given the good news. And the question this morning is, what are you going to do with it? And what have you done with it? And so the servants are told to occupy till I come. As a matter of fact, this word occupy, it's the only time the word occupy is used in the Bible here, in the New Testament. That word occupy in this context means to do business with or to gain by trading. Get that? To gain by trading or to do business with. The pound was given for you to do some business with it. For you to trade with it. It's amazing that there are a lot of people that know about Wall Street. They know about the stock market. And they know about the trading. But they are not doing anything with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This pound, he's told, I want you to occupy. Not just take up space. That's what many church folks are doing. They're taking up space. They're there on the pews on Sunday, but they're not doing anything with the pound that they've been given. The Bible says, he said, I want you to occupy. I want you to trade. I want you to do business with this pound until I come. Did he not say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Bible says in verse 14, though, the other entity that I want to focus on, he says, but his citizens. His citizens, the Bible says, hated him. Imagine that. The citizens that were in this particular area or sphere of influence of this nobleman, the Bible says, they hated him. And can I tell you, the Bible says in the book of John, he came into his own, and his own received him not. Did not Jesus say, if they hated me, they'll hate you as well? The Bible says, the citizens, can I say to you, the citizens being those that reject the truth. They reject the Bible. They reject God's Word. They reject the church. They reject there being an absolute truth. They reject a divine authority that's been given to us in the person of the Word of God. The citizens, they hated it. As a matter of fact, I would dare say that everybody is either a citizen or you are a servant. The citizen has rejected the truth of God's Word. The Bible says, but his citizens hated him. And they sent a message after him saying, notice what they said, we will not have this man, the nobleman, to reign over us. Can I dare say in 2020, many in America, and not just America, but throughout this world, are saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. We are in a postmodern society. We believe that we determine and make our own truth, and that we can do what we want to do, and nobody has the authority to tell us otherwise. We are saying, I don't want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. I don't want him to rule over me. I want to rule my own life. Now, many people will not verbalize that, but in practice, that's what they're really doing. They're saying, Lord, you can't tell me what to do. If I don't want to go to church on Sunday, if I don't want to read my Bible, if I don't want to pray, if I don't want to obey my parents, if I don't want to respect those that are in authority, I can do that. And we have a society that's filled with people who have said, I don't want this man to rule over me. And so I believe that the citizens in this parable are representative of those that are outside the faith who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to be under the auspices or the control of the nobleman. And the Bible says about these citizens, they said, we will not have this man to rule or to reign over us. But then it says this, and it gets back to those of us that are in the local church, those of us that are believers. It says in verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, and can I say that? I can't say it enough. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. The nobleman returned. And there may be scoffers. There may be mockers. There may be saying, there are those that are saying things are still the way they've always been, like Peter said. But can I tell you, he is coming back. And the Bible says, and it came to pass that when he was returned, when the nobleman came back, having received the kingdom, and I do believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back and establish his millennial reign. He's going to set up a kingdom right here on the earth, and those of us that are believers will rule and reign with him. Bible says, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him. Maybe you ought to insert your name there. If you are a believer, I need to insert my name there. The Bible says he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, the pound, that he might know how much every man, every white man, every black man, every Hispanic man, every Asian man. He wanted to know how much every man had gained by trade. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, the nobleman, comes back and there's a day of accountability. And he wants to know, what have you done with my truth? With my pound? With my gospel? What did you do with it? The Bible says in verse number 16, then came the first. And remember, there were 10. But we're going to see that only 3 are addressed. I believe they're a representative of the whole group of 10. You have to wonder, whatever happened and what did the other 7 do specifically? But he only deals with the 3 because I believe they're representative of the whole 10. In verse 16 it says, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. Now look at that very carefully. Because he said, thy pound have gained 10 pounds. The servant didn't say, I have gained 10 pounds. He said, thy pound have gained 10 pounds. In other words, the only thing you and I have to do is to give it out, is to trade with it. It has the power to do the work itself. The Word of God can produce itself or reproduce itself. The only thing it needs is for somebody to trade it, for somebody to do something with it. And it will produce the result. It's almost like a seed. The seed has life in itself. The ability to reproduce itself is already in the seed. The Word of God just needs to be given out. It has the power to do the reproduction. The Bible says, thy pound have gained 10 pounds. And notice what the nobleman said. He said, in verse 17, and he said unto him, well, thy good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. In other words, because you were faithful with the Word of God, because you were faithful giving out the gospel, because you were faithful trading this pound, because you occupied till I came back, he says, I'm going to give you authority over 10 cities. Now, again, I won't go there, but in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, it says, if we suffer with him, we'll also reign with him. Every one of us that are believers, we will reign with the Lord Jesus Christ when he establishes his kingdom. And the Bible says, in this reign, and I don't believe we're all going to be treated the same. I believe that some of us will have more authority. I believe that some of us will be rewarded more than others. I believe that some of us will be used in a greater way in the kingdom. He says, this one who was faithful, who traded, who used his pound, he took advantage of his pound. And because it reproduced 10 other pounds, the Bible says, he says, I'm going to give you authority over 10 cities. And as a result of that, he says, well, thy good servant, You've done well. I wonder this morning, are you and I concerned about the Lord saying, you did well. Or well done, thy good and faithful servant. For some 217 years, somebody, no doubt, in the Lord's eyes, has done well. Somebody has been faithful with the pound that they've been given. And the Bible says this, and equally so in verse 18, it says, and the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. The Word of God has multiplied in this person's life. They produce much fruit. Maybe they've been responsible for many coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When they got that pound, when they got the gospel, when they allowed the Word of God to take root in their heart, they did something with it. And as a result of that, that pound that was given to them reproduced to 5 pounds. It wasn't as much as the other, but it was still something. It may not have been 10, but it was more than what he was given. The Bible says, thy pound, again, he didn't say he did, it says his pound did. The gospel, once it was disseminated, once it was given out, once it was used, it did produce results. Now, it may be at varying degrees. You might not do what another Christian does. You might not be as productive as another believer. But that's between you and God. But you will be accounted. There will be an accounting. And I believe, church, to whom much is given, much is required. The Bible says in verse number 19, and he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. He too was going to reign. He too was going to have authority. He too was going to be used by God. Had been used by God in a great way. And it resulted in him having more pounds than he originally started with. Can I ask you, maybe you need to ponder this question. How long have you been saved? How long have you been a believer? How long have you been a member of this church? And maybe a greater question is, what have you done since you became a member? What have you produced since you became a believer? Remember, the word occupy is to do business with. What have you done and what have I done? I'm not preaching just to you. I'm preaching to myself as well. What have I done with this precious gospel, this truth that I hold in my hand? I was told to occupy, to trade with it, to do business with it. To cause it to reproduce until the nobleman came back. Well, then the Bible says in verse number 20, and this is the saddest part of our message this morning. It's sad because it's much more of a reality than many of us would like to think it is. And that is this, the Bible says, and another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Here is my pound. In other words, I haven't done anything with it. The only thing I've done with my pound is I hid it in a napkin. And can I say to you, there are probably untold numbers of Christians this morning that have done the same thing. You've been given the truth of the Word of God. You've been given the gospel. The only problem is you've taken it and you've done nothing with it. He said you have kept it laid up in a net. Now, what value is it if it's kept in a napkin? What value is this pound if it's not being used? It's certainly not going to reproduce itself. There's certainly not going to be any other pounds that are derived from it. Because you and I have done nothing with it. And that's why we entitled the message this morning, The Sin of Doing Nothing. You say, well, preacher, how can you say it's a sin? Because the Bible says, to whom do know to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. And so when I keep the gospel all to myself, when I take the truth of the Word of God and keep it to myself, I don't share it, I don't teach it, I don't proclaim it, I'm no more than the servant who hid his pound in a napkin. I'm doing nothing with what I've been given. That's one of the big differences between the talent parable and the pound parable. So you can understand when people are given more talents than others, you expect them to be able to do more. But knowing the parable of the pound, everybody's given the same thing. Everybody, every saint, every child of God has all, we all have been given the Word of God. No discrimination, no distinction. Every child of God has been given a pound. The issue is, what have we done with it? And what are we doing with it? And so he says, I have kept laid up in a neck. And you know one of the reasons why he didn't do anything with this pound is that he really didn't know anything about his master, the nobleman. In other words, when you have a misunderstanding of who God is or who Jesus Christ is, it perverts your use of your pound or the gospel. Notice what he said. He said in verse 21, for I feared thee. Imagine, the servant said, I feared thee. And then I believe we're talking about the wrong kind of fear here. He said, I feared thee because thou art an austere man or stern man. Or a hard man. Or a severe man. I was afraid because I knew what kind of man you were. Which really lets us know he really didn't know anything about his nobleman at all. I think because many people have the wrong view of God, that's why they don't share the gospel. For instance, if I don't believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the way God sees it, right? So if I, as a black, am not willing to share the gospel with a Hispanic, what it means is I don't know anything about my God. If a white is afraid to share the gospel with a black, what that means is he doesn't know much about his God. He has the wrong impression of who his God is. And this servant, because he didn't really know anything about the God that he said he served, he said, I didn't do anything with the pound. I just kept it in a neck. I kept it all to myself. And it's almost like that in some Christian household. We got the gospel. We're satisfied, us four and no more. What are we doing with the gospel? What are we doing with our pound? This servant didn't do anything. He didn't do anything with his pound other than hide it in a napkin. He did, he said, because I know you take us up that thou layest not down, and you reapest that thou didst not sow. Again, he said, well, you know, you have authority. You can do what you want to do. I mean, you can trade wherever you want to trade. You can get whatever you want to get. You got a lot of influence. You got a lot of power. There's nothing you can't take. So, again, he was expecting the nobleman to do what he was supposed to be doing. And the Bible says in verse 22, he says, and this is what the nobleman said, church, and it's one of cause, a caution, and it ought to cause us much trepidation. It ought to cause us much concern. And he said unto him, I want you to put yourself here. I need to put myself here. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, because you knew that, wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank? Uh-oh, we're talking American now. Everybody know about money in the bank, right? Everyone knows about getting interest on your money. Everybody knows that's why you invest in the stock market, because you want to get more of your money, more from your money than they can give you down at the bank. That's why you invest in gold and all these other things. That's why you have 401ks and IRAs, because you want to get something out of your money. Well, guess what? Our Lord wants to get something out of His pound as well. He wants us to do something with His Word. He wants us to get the gospel out. He wants this to multiply. Why? Because He wants to get as much from His investment as possible. He said, wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming, again, church, He is coming back, and there is going to be a day where those of us that are saved will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll give an account for what we did with our pound. We'll give an account for what we did with what the nobleman entrusted with us while he was gone. But he's going to come back. And for many of us, no doubt, that might be a sad day, because we didn't do anything with our pound. The Bible says that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. Usury, of course, is excessive interest. He was wanting to get something. He's wanting to benefit. He was wanting to gain from this gospel. Can I say to you, our churches are full of many that are guilty of this sin. There's no desire to serve the Savior. They have a pound to trade, but it is buried somewhere in a napkin. He says, I wanted to come back and get something from my investment. I gave you a pound. I gave you the Word of God. I gave you the gospel. I told you I'm coming back one day. And when I come back, I want to find out what you did with it. And for this servant, I believe that he committed sin because he did nothing with his power. And finally, it says this, because remember, not only were there the servants, but there were also citizens. Verse 24 says, then he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Why? Because he didn't do anything with it. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. That's not the issue. He was doing something, or he did something with what he was given. I'm preaching twice. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. How sad. How sad to look in our Savior's eyes and realize we didn't do what we could have done with the pound that we had. He says then to the citizens, those who rejected, and I say this by way of invitation, you may be here this morning and you never ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't say this to frighten you, but I say this to warn you. One day, you'll wish that you had. One day, this world will wish that they had. The Bible says in verse 27, but those mine enemies, the enemies of the nobleman, the ones who said, I don't want you to rule over me. That's the one that's the enemy. He said, but those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them. He says, I want you to bring them hither. Bring them here and slay them before me. The Bible says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is coming a day where there is going to be, in my estimation, what the Bible calls the white throne judgment. Where those who have rejected the Savior, those who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, will be cast into the lake of fire. The place where hell will be, the place where Satan will be, the place where the false prophet will be, the place where the beast will be, the place of torment forever and ever. Why? Because they rejected the nobleman ruling over them. Can I ask you, in conclusion, are you a servant? Or are you a citizen? If you're here this morning, you're a citizen, I beg you, you need to get saved before that great judgment day. Because after that day, there's no changing. Your destiny is settled forever because you didn't want him to rule over your life. And for those of us that are here that are servants, I don't know what the other saints did in these last 217 years. I don't know, but God knows. He also knows what you and I have done. And I want to implore you this morning. Going forward in the future, you would say, God, help me not to hide my pound in a napkin. God, help me. With the time that I have before you return to occupy, to do something with the pound that I receive, that I might see more pounds produced and that I might be rewarded when you come back. God help it to be so. All heads bowed. and all eyes.